The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. You know, I have always heard and for the most part believed it takes a big man to offer an apology. It is very difficult for some people to apologize and to say I'm wrong. I got news for all of you that are married. Your marriage will not last unless you have the ability to say, I'm wrong. It's hard, counter to our nature. So, you know, I believe it takes a big man to apologize. Unless there is no reason to apologize. Sometimes it takes great courage to not apologize. What am I talking about? Well, the big brouhaha over the Washington National Cathedral inviting Max Lucado to preach. Yeah, the Washington National Cathedral is the largest Episcopalian church in America. It is kind of ground zero for leftist liberal heresy in the Episcopal Church. There's probably not an Episcopal Church in America more far left, theologically, more heretical than the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Well, having said that, they invited Max Lucado to fill their virtual pulpit for a recent service. Now, I am sure that Max Lucado's sermon was a good sermon. Max Lucado is an incredible communicator. He has written some wonderful, wonderful books. But just because he was invited to preach, the LGBTQ community went ballistic. They went crazy. A petition was started. Thousands of people signed it, condemning the rector of the Washington National Cathedral for inviting this homophobic evangelical preacher. Now, what was that all about? Well, it all stems back to 2004. Okay? 2004. To my knowledge, Max Lucado has never written one thing about homosexuality, male-female relationships, and so forth. His books are great. It's just a topic he hasn't dealt with. But in 2004, he preached a sermon, and in his sermon he said, it is God's plan for men to marry women. It is God's plan for marriage to be between a man and a woman. Now, it was not an inflammatory message. He didn't condemn LGBTQ people. He simply stated in the message that this was God's plan. So get this. Dozens and dozens of books, thousands and thousands of sermons. The LGBTQ people found one sermon back in 2004 where Max Lucado simply said, it is God's plan for marriage to be between a man and a woman. That's it. But that was enough. So the LGBTQ people went hysterical. Part of the petition said, Lucado's teaching and preaching inflicts active harm on LGBTQ people. Fear-mongering and dehumanizing messages from powerful speakers like Lucado have been used to justify rollbacks of LGBTQ rights and to exclude LGBTQ people from civil protections and sacred rights. To our knowledge, Lucado has not publicly renounced these views. Now again, what was the view? One sermon, one message, 2004, it is God's plan for marriage to be between a man and a woman. The petition went on and accused Max Lucado of preaching a dangerous theology. National Cathedral Dean Randy Hollerith received the petition and responded, acknowledging the cathedral's firm stance as a, quote, beacon for LGBTQ inclusion, and identified himself as an ally of the community. But Dean Hollerith of the National Cathedral defended the decision to invite Lucado, saying that there was a desperate need for humanity to find common good. Quote, we have to come out of our corners, find common ground where we can, and find ways to live with and see each other as the beloved children of God that we are. We have all grown too accustomed in our silos and echo chambers. In order to start the process of rebuilding, we need to hear from each other. So the dean of the National Cathedral said, I just thought we needed to hear the other side, you know, and just kind of talk about it and discuss it and listen to each other. Did that appease the LGBTQ community? Oh, no, 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 no. It inflamed their anger even more. So we have the National Cathedral up apologizing for inviting someone to come to their church and actually preach what the Bible says. And by the way, in the sermon at the National Cathedral, Max Lucado said nothing about gender, sex, sexuality, marriage, male, female, nothing in that sermon whatsoever. But we have the National Cathedral apologizing. Apologizing for inviting someone who believes the Bible to preach in their church. But guess what? That's not nearly as disturbing as Max Lucado's response. How did he respond? He apologized for his 2004 sermon. Yeah. Now again, in the sermon, it was a kind, loving, compassionate sermon that simply stated, hey, this is God's plan. Here is at least part of what Max Lucado said in response to this controversy. And I quote, in 2004, I preached a sermon on the topic of same-sex marriage. I now see that in that sermon, I was disrespectful. I was hurtful. I wounded people in ways that were devastating. I should have done better. It grieves me that my words have hurt or been used to hurt the LGBTQ community. I apologize to you and I ask forgiveness of Christ. For preaching the truth? Now, folks, listen. There is no excuse for people out there shouting death to fags and God hates fags. There is no excuse for hating LGBTQ people. There's no excuse for not being compassionate toward anyone who's living in any kind of sinful lifestyle. But we don't apologize for telling the truth. We don't apologize for telling people what you're doing is sin. He went on to say this. To be clear, I believe in the traditional biblical understanding of marriage, but that's the problem. The but. I believe in the traditional biblical understanding of marriage, but I also believe in a God of unbounded grace and love. LGBTQ individuals and LGBTQ families must be respected and treated with love. They are beloved children of God because they are made in the image and likeness of God. Sadly, Max Lucado must have missed the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned and the image of God was marred. Then Adam and Eve rebelled against God and were no longer distinctly in the image of God. Sometimes the apology is far worse than the offense.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Okay, I will admit, I don't keep up with a lot of what's going on in the contemporary Christian music field. I just don't keep up. There's a lot of good stuff going on in contemporary Christian music, a lot of wonderful artists, a lot of great songs, but I just don't keep up with who's hot, who's number one. But I did a little bit of research today and found out that for a long time on Apple's iTunes store, under Christian music, the song Look Up Child by Lauren Daigle was number one for a long, long, long time. And I'm familiar with Lauren Daigle. I'm familiar with Look Up Child and her song. And again, we're talking about Apple's iTunes store under Christian or contemporary Christian music. Well, her song, Lauren Daigle's Look Up Child, has been dethroned, at least for a time, by a song called Preacher's Kid by Semler, S-E-M-L-E-R. That is the artist name of Grace Baldridge. Now, until today, I have never heard of Grace Baldridge. I have never heard of her stage name, Semler, and I've never heard of the song Preacher's Kid, but at least for a time, it has been number one on Apple's iTunes store. You say, so? Well, Grace Baldridge, otherwise known as Semler, is an out homosexual, lesbian. Yeah. And she said, when she was informed that her song was number one, she told Religion News Service, "It's unbelievable. I keep trying to pinch myself. I actually got a tattoo last night to try and pinch myself to see if this was actually real." Say, well, Bob, so what? Quote, "The song carries a parental advisory for explicit lyrics and at turns. No, I can't even read that. No, I'm not even going to read that. It has a parental warning for inappropriate explicit lyrics, and that's number one in Apple iTunes Christian music. Now, why do I bring that up? Just to illustrate the state of discernment among many Christian young people And I'll leave it at that. Because I want to get to this story. I didn't want to end the program today without getting to this story. You ready for this? If you're driving, put both hands on the wheel and hold on tightly so you don't drive off the road. And if you have something to attach your head to your shoulders, please do so so your head will not spin off. I'm quoting. The Oregon Department of Education is promoting a course for teachers that links math lessons to racism and a culture of white supremacy. The department last week sent out an online pamphlet for a course called A Path to Equitable Math Instruction, which includes a section on, quote, dismantling racism in mathematics instruction. I began reading this and said to myself, excuse me? What is racist about math? Well, here's a quote from the course. White supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms and everyday teacher actions. Coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetuate educational harm on minority students, denying them full access to the world of mathematics. The course identifies ways in which white supremacy shows up in math classrooms. So my question was, what? How does white supremacy show up in math? Well, here it is. According to the teaching materials, too much focus on asking students to get the right answer when solving math problems is connected to white supremacy. That's an intentional pause. By insisting on correct answers to math problems, you are demonstrating white supremacy and discriminating against minority students. Now, again, intentional pause. Insisting on teaching 2 plus 2 equals 4 and not 5 or 6 or any other number is white supremacy. 4 times 5 equals 20. If you insist on one answer only, you are showing white supremacy. And then it goes on. This can result in using mathematics to uphold capitalist and imperialist ways of being and understanding of the world. Say what? We're living in an insane world, folks. Insane. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. Have a great evening. But please, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.